Health Insurance, here for you.
This is News Night here on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra and Kumasi. We are on Love 99.5 FM, also on myjoyonline.com, X Spaces, and all our social media platforms. I am MFA Apau. Let's start off from up north, and the spillage of the Bagri Dam is beginning to wreak havoc on farms and communities in the area. In the Boku West District, for instance, we are told that over 700 farmers are beginning to count to their loss. Looks like the situation is not just peculiar to the Upper East region, because tonight, the Northeast Regional NADMO is also confirming that the flood has begun taking over farms and communities along the White Volta in the area as well. We can first listen to the district organizer of the Boku West Peasant Farmers Association, Ezekiel Atanga Azuri, who tells Joy News over 2,000 acres of farms have already been destroyed.
The water started coming in, and then those farmers who have their crops still along the riverbanks are struggling to see how they can salvage what is remained. Because this year, actually, the farming season has been difficult due to the drought. So it has also wasted the time that they used to farm and then harvest. For the spillage, they are aware of it, that every year, this is what happens. Whenever they spill, definitely they have to lose some crops. So it has come not as a surprise, but they are just putting themselves together to salvage what has remained.
How many of your farmers are affected as we speak?
700 to 800 farmers along the riverbanks.
About how many acres of land?
We are talking about close to 2,000 acres of land.
And most of these are used to farm which crops?
They used to farm maize and then millet, and then vegetables, which includes onion, cabbage, carrots, and the like.
So where do you go from here?
Well, as it's always been done, they will still have to put themselves together, maybe sell one or two animals, yeah, goats or cattle, to be able to refund themselves. Because
well, so that's the district organizer of the Boku West Peasant Farmers Association, Ezekiel Atanga Azuri, there, interacting with my colleague James Aveji. Rather a worrying situation. Well, the regional director of NADMO in the Northeast region, Alhassan John Kweku, has also confirmed to Joy News that some farms along the White Volta have begun experiencing the flooding, forcing them to start a sensitization program, which has already begun to drive away people from these affected areas.
You know, most of the districts, they have radio stations. So we do it in the local language, we do it in the English language, and then we also do community engagement. Then we also meet opinion leaders, and then we have also engaged with the district assemblies to talk to people to evacuate to higher grounds for their own safety. And then we also went to downstream, especially that place, there's no network. So we've gone there to meet with the farmers, and we have talked to them, and some of them have actually complied. And they have left the place. Others too were doing the harvesting because the rains, the waters hadn't come. So they said they were going to be monitoring as they are doing the harvesting. When the water start coming, then they will be leaving the place. They have already taken their livestock out of the place. But you see, when you are dealing with people, some will comply, others will not comply. And those that will not comply, I don't think we have any we can use force to get them out of the place. But we are still making a passionate appeal to them that they should leave, because their lives, even though we need the livestock and the food crops, but their lives are also important to us. We don't want to lose any life this time around.
Do we have an estimated number of persons or families or households, farmlands, to be affected?
Well, because we are having to deal with nature, you cannot just speak to issues unless maybe you wait to see what will happen before you can talk. But we are just prepared. We are prepared.
So that's the regional director of NADMO in the Northeast region, Alhassan John Kweku, there giving us the situation as we speak. But thankfully, we have the director of communication for NADMO, George AEC, joining us. He's at the national level and will help us understand what the situation is as we speak. Mr. AEC, thank you so much for joining us here on Newsnight. So what kind of briefing are you getting from your men on the ground when it comes to the impact of this spillage on livelihoods in these areas?
Yeah, thank you, MFA. Good evening to you and our listeners. Yes, As my earlier officers alluded to, we've engaged the communities. Yeah, it's gotten to the Upper East region. It's going to go northeast all the way down, but we are all in readiness. Yes, the impact is serious, as we know. Over the years, people's farms are submerged underwater, and they lose everything, their investments, loans they've taken. So it's serious on them, their psyche, their emotions, their life, everything. But we try, as my earlier officer said, not to lose any life. So we try to get them to integrate with families and then identify safe havens in safer places, themselves and their livestock. Also, the farm produce, those that are due for harvesting, we encourage them to harvest before now. Because I did say that it's going to take between 3 to 6 days for us to feel the impact, and it's within that time. So the preparation has been very adequate, and people are responding, even though there are some undermanned ones amongst them. But generally, the response is positive.
Ms. Aisi, for the longest I've known you, anytime there's a spillage, we have to have this particular conversation, almost becoming tiring. Is there nothing that can be done in the long term to mitigate the impact of this Bagri Dam spillage? Because as we speak,
You and I know government has initiated a process, but the process has been halted. I'm talking the Pologu Dam construction. That was to be the one-stop shop for all of us. We at NADMU were excited when the process began, but it's just been halted. I understand it's definitely going to continue, but that has been the one-stop solution to this whole perennial challenges that we are having. So if the Pologu Dam is constructed, definitely MFA will not be having the conversation thereafter this way. And so that's what we are hoping for, that it's constructed. But until then, we need to be managing the situation as is now. Tomorrow, the regional director for Upper East and some of the chief executives and leaders will be going to the confluence of the Bagri Dam and the local river to inspect, and then the political decisions taken as to how to help the people that are directly going to be affected immediately.
But as we speak, it's almost like a double jeopardy for these farmers. They had some dry spell. They were not able to harvest most of their produce. Yeah. And then now they've been hit by the spillage. Really, if you say that you're looking at what we can do for them, is there really something in place, some measures in place to make life easier or more bearable for these farmers who have been affected?
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. As we have said, it's coming down. We are beginning to feel the impact. We've made the sensitization, the movement is happening. And so when there's need for us to support them, livelihood and other areas, definitely we'll be doing that. So we are not going to make situation get worse for them. As you said, it's already a job double jeopardy. Their farm produce gone and all that. They themselves inconvenience. We are going to do anything and everything to see how we can help them ameliorate the suffering and the difficulties in this period.
And as always, your men on the ground say they are helpless. They do not have relief items. They can't even help the people.
Oh, no. Yes, I have a stat. We've not gotten to the point of relief yet. So now that they are integrating and we are identifying safe havens and co, definitely relief will get in. Definitely. So in the immediate...
And that's a promise.
They are challenged.
Is that a promise you are giving, Mr. Aisi?
Is there?
Is that a promise you're making that definitely relief items will get to these people?
Oh, no. Well, yes, because we cannot keep them in safe havens and identified areas and then leave them to their fate. No. We will do the inspection and assessment of the situation, and then we'll go in appropriately to support them. We'll do that.
Well, we'll take you up on that. We are grateful. And that's George AEC, is the Director of Communications for NADMO. And we've been hearing the situation on the ground, heard from the peasant farmers, and then also the regional NADMO directors, now hearing from the national level as well. Yesterday, you recall that we've been interacting with the Peasant Farmers Association at the national level. They've also been warning that this particular twin situation of drought and flood up north could lead to high food prices in the coming months. Bismarck Owusu-Norte is executive director of the association. This is what he told us.
The issue is that for some of the farms, the rains are not enough to salvage their level of growth. Most of them have failed. You know, normally when you plant, there's a point in time where the plant needs a lot of rain for it to mature and for you to be able to apply your chemical, your fertilizers. Some of the plants have gone past that stage and they have been stunted. So no matter how well it rains, there's no way those plants can be salvaged. If you look at the geography and then the dynamics of farming in Ghana, you realize that most of the crops that we consume, most of the staples that we consume, especially the maize, the rice, the cowpea, the vegetables that we consume, mostly are grown in this part of the country. That's the transitional and the savannah zones. So once there's a major shake in these areas, then the impact on people is quite severe.
Is there a looming food shortage?
Currently, with how things are going, I can predict that price of food will be quite high. I can predict that we will have quite low productivity because we will not be able to get the needed yield as we desire. And I can predict that price of food will go up very high. So that I can predict.
That's Bismarck Owusu-Norte, Executive Director of the Peasant Farmers Association. Rather a grim situation. We're still waiting to hear from the Agri Ministry on the exact interventions that have been put in place to avert any looming food shortage, if there is. We heard from Tanko Bagbara yesterday, the PRO, mentioning that he would not want to preempt what the minister is going to say. So we await to hear from Bryony Champong, the Agri Minister, to tell us what exactly the measures are that have been put in place to ensure that you and I will not, face a food shortage in the near future. Now, the minority in Parliament say the West Africa Examination Council has postponed the marking of BEC scripts due to lack of funds caused by government's indebtedness. As of June, government owed the examination body 300 million cedis for services rendered between 2022 and 2023, and that's for up to this year. Addressing journalists in Parliament, ranking member on the Education Committee, Peter Nochukotoy, demanded that government settles his debts immediately before the academic calendar is thrown out of sync.
At the launch, they mentioned that government has paid for the registration of basic education certificate examination candidates for 2024. If you remember very well, it took this minority to talk about the payment for the registration to enable WAEC conduct the BEC for 2024. So at the time, government had to release 55.9 million out of over 200 million that they owe WAEC. So I don't understand, or we don't know, why at the launch they will claim that they had paid. If they said they had even absorbed, that would have been better, that they have paid for the registration of BEC candidates. As we speak now, WAEC had to postpone the marking of BEC scripts from this month to September because they don't have the funds to do the coordination and marking, which we call post-examination activities. They still owe WAEC for the BEC, and we are demanding that government pays this money to WAEC so that they can organize the marking in time. As a result, the school calendar is going to be disrupted again. Those who are to go to SHS this September will be at home. They will not be able to go. So it is likely that the academic calendar is going to be distorted again, and they may go to school somewhere in December, which we are trying to avoid. And you know the effects of the double track that is having on the school calendar in progress now. So we are asking government to release money to WAEC as urgently as they can so that the marking can take place for our young ones to enter secondary school in good time.
Well, so Peter Nochukotoy also gave updates on the situation about the distribution of tablets to senior high school students. According to Peter Nochukotoy, the supplier is currently struggling to settle loans he contracted to deliver on that particular contract.
A few weeks ago, before Parliament went on recess, the minority put out a news release that government was owing suppliers of various items, including food items, stationery, tablets, all that to the tune of over 6 billion Ghana cedis. We're expecting government, especially the Minister of Education, to come out and deny it. We did not hear from them. At the launch of the manifesto, they mentioned that they had distributed 900,000 tablets to senior high schools as part of the free SHS program. I listened to another speaker who said 90,000, so I don't know which is which. In our press release about 6 or so weeks ago, we indicated that it's a program that as a party, NDC, we support very much. But where you are not prepared for it, you don't have any budgetary allocation, and you go into it, you create problem for the suppliers. As we sit here, we know that 1,350,000 tablets were procured, and the supplier had to look for a loan in dollar denominated. That means that any time he's going to pay the loan back, they will calculate the rate. If it is 18 cedis to the dollar, that is what we will have to do. He has been denied payment for a very long time now. And we don't know why government is refusing to pay. You are killing the business of the supplier. We will also want to know from government how many schools have received the tablets so far.
Well, so that's the minority press conference, but we'll focus a bit more on the issue about WAEC and the BC. This is an issue that we've been talking about for some time now. And as we speak, WAEC is also, the WASI is also underway, and what exactly will be the fate of that. But before I bring in the public relations or head of public affairs at WAEC, Mr. Kapi, on this, my colleague James Aveji joins me in studio with the breakdown of this particular debt that we are told, how much exactly it is, and how exactly we've been dealing with it. And James, let's go through it. 300 million cedis?
Exactly. And so let's deal with WASI first. And 2022, government owed WAEC some 9.972 million Ghana cedis. And in 2023, they owed WAEC 46,515,000 Ghana cedis. This year, which exams is being written, which WAEC would be demanding this money to pay the markets and all of that, government will be paying WAEC some 178,342,000 Ghana cedis. And so between 2022 and this year's WASI debt that government owes amount to some 234,829,000 Ghana cedis. And these figures we had as of end of June 2024. As far as BC is concerned, government is owing 2 years. 2023 arrears is 698,000 Ghana cedis, and this year 2024 runs to some 93 million Ghana cedis. All that put together gives us 93,698,000 Ghana cedis. If you put the two together, that is what is running into some over 300 million Ghana cedis as of end of June 2024.
I'm a bit dazed by the figures. Thank you very much, James Aveji, there. But let me now bring in Mr. Kapi. Mr. Kapi, we are grateful for your time here on Newsnight. Please tell me it's not true that you've stopped marking the BEC.
Good evening and thanks for having me. We have not stopped marking the BEC. Now, I would have to explain to you certain processes so that you can we can put a lot of things into perspective. Now, first of all, after the examinations, we always have a number of days within which to process the results and release them. Now, for BEC, we are looking at between 60 and 64 days. Now, looking at the time that the BEC ended and the commencement of the WAS, there were a few disruptions. We could not immediately, you know, begin to process the scripts and, you know, start the marking of the BEC. You know, so that has kind of caused a bit of delay. But as we speak, post-examination activities are ongoing. We are finished with the control of the scripts, and then we have started swapping them across the regions where they are going to be marked by our examiners. So I would say in a nutshell that post-examination activities are ongoing.
What does that mean? Would you still mark the papers?
Obviously, yes, we are going to mark the papers. We have a mandate, we have a duty to perform, and so, yes, we are going to mark the papers.
And the indebtedness of government will not affect the marking or the post activities you talk about in any way?
No, obviously, we have some monies to pick up from the government, but as I speak, a lot of payments have been made since the last time that we came out to mention the figures that were owed us. Even today, the Director of Finance was at the Controller and Accountant General's Department to pick up a check. We are picking up some two other checks tomorrow or in the days that are coming after. So, obviously, monies are being paid. And so, financially, once these have been settled in the next few days, we are in a good position to go ahead with the marking exercise.
Out of the 93 million, the over 93 million that you're owed, how much check have you picked up today?
Well, unfortunately, these are figures. I do not deal with the figures directly. But when the finance team works out everything, then they tell me, okay, we've got this, and this is what we are yet to receive. But as I speak to you right now, I don't have any figures in front of me.
Okay, but you're saying that at least the indebtedness, we talked about the BEC. How about the WASI, which is also currently underway? Over 234 million is what I see in terms of how much you're owed. Is that really the figures in terms of the amount that is outstanding? Maybe you can cross-check that for us and let us know if it would affect anything as we go forward.
Well, I think that listening to your reporter, he said as of June, and we are in August, we are almost at the end of August. So, and of course, the kind of relationship we have in terms of release of funds is like that you don't get a chunk of it at a go. They pay the monies in bits. And so, as we speak, I cannot ascertain, that the figure is what your reporter has mentioned. But we have received some monies, yes, but then we still, of course, are expecting some more. And assurances have been made. We've been told to pick out some checks tomorrow and then the days after as we go on. So we are of the view that, yes, if all of these assurances or if these promises are fulfilled, we would be able to carry out our mandate and, you know, release the results as the times come.
And so parents of these candidates of the BEC and also the ongoing WASI can be rest assured that the results will be released on time and the academic calendar for next year will not be disrupted.
Absolutely. WAEC is committed to, release the results in good time so the children can go back to school. The difficulty has been with the simultaneous running of the WAS and then the marking. That has been the major difficulty that we have.
Well, Mr. Kapi, we are grateful. We're here. Thank you so much for your time. That's the head of public affairs at WAEC there speaking to us on the situation. Thankfully, the ranking member on the education committee also joins us on the line, Peter Nochukotoy. We're grateful for your time here on Newsnight. So I heard details of that particular press conference, but it appears that WAEC is giving us some assurances that they've not stopped marking. Everything is underway.
Yeah, thank you very much, and good evening to you and your listeners. Yeah, we are happy he has said the post-examination activities are ongoing, but these do not involve a lot of people. Where a lot of people are involved and where much money is needed is the marking exercise, where all the regional capitals or the centers that are designated will have people congregating to mark the examination. As at Tuesday, the monies were not available for them. And once he has said that they are making payments, we hope that whatever is given to them will be enough to conduct the marking and the compilation of the results.
But I'm sure you've been finding out a bit more from the position or where you sit as a ranking member on the Education Committee in Parliament. What exactly has been the challenge? We've seen the amount accruing. This is as of June. We are in August now. There could be more. What exactly is the difficulty in releasing funds, needed funds, to WAEC?
Well, I don't know what is the challenge. For me, if you want my view, it is because those who are responsible for releasing money to WAEC are not doing so. Because this is an agreement that we are presenting such and so number of candidates, and each candidate has to pay such and so amount. We owe you such and so amount, like the 93 million or the 94 million. So what prevents government from giving WAEC money up front to enable them to organize a smooth examination. So it is inability of government because it has been budgeted for. So the problem lies at the doorstep of government, and for that matter, Ministry of Finance and the Ministry of Education.
Okay.
They must collaborate very well and make sure that there's timeous release of money to WAEC.
We are grateful. That's Peter Nochukwu Troy, is a ranking member on the Education Committee in Parliament. I have some of your messages that you've sent in via WhatsApp is 055-111-1997. Before I bring in George, we are with the latest from the world of business. Also, we'll be hearing from Cocoa Board. It's fighting back minorities' claims that the international markets rejected their request to source syndicated loans and that they were chased away from the market, saying it's not only false, but full of misrepresentations. I have details of that about some of your messages before I head on to business. And this one from Gordon in Kumasi says, government failed to pay for BEC. They should also stop receiving their salary, both MPs and government appointees. Let's be serious as a country, he says. Ni Indakuman says, Ghanaians, let us rise and demand a review of our constitution to be able to control our leaders, to reduce the liabilities and losses they put on us. Michael Hatchful has a message and he says, it's become necessary for the properties, if it becomes necessary for the properties to be liquidated, it should start with the vehicles of the ambassadors. God save our country. That's Michael Hatchful. And this one also from Nana Spintex Road says, seriously, couldn't Ghana create some sort of irrigation from the spill from the Bagri Dam? This is a question for the gods, I guess. And that's from Nana Spintex Road. Nana's message there that you've sent in. Some of your messages you've sent it via WhatsApp. George, let's hear this particular story about friendships without barriers and not even disability is able to break them. At the University of Ghana, Felicity Wedeva, a jury, and Esther Buidu are proving just that. One is short and the other visibly impaired, but they are a perfect match for each other. Their inspiring story is a demonstration of the power of friendship, showing us all that disability is not a limitation, but a unique strength. Emmanuel Jivenu of our education desk has more. Enjoy News' latest series, This Abled.
My name is Felicity Ajoy Wedaba. I'm a person living with disability called achondroplasia. I'm unique and special in all my ways and aspects.
Felicity moves her hands with dexterity as she applies a cold patch to her bicycle tire.
And my mom and dad always advise me to learn how to use those things to repair my bike.
A bicycle is a lifeline, not just for herself, but for her friend, Esther Badu, who is visually impaired.
When I came to the University of Ghana, I could see that mine was a little bit tall because some of them couldn't see. I thank God for my life, and then I was like, God, I didn't know that my problem was not as much as compared to others. I think I could help them because I can see.
When I came, I was always in my room. I was like, so how am I going to mingle with people? You know, stigmatization and stuff. When I met Felicity, I was like, wow, I have met, although she's also a person with a disability, but she's helping me a lot.
So she was like, she's a visual impaired, she can't see. So I decided to help her.
And so began a friendship. Every day, Felicity and Esther navigate the sprawling campus together. As Felicity rides, Esther holds her shoulder, guiding her friend to their lecture halls.
Every time I have to help her out by sending her to the lecture halls and all that. It has been a very difficult task for us, but I still insist on helping her by riding her to the lecture halls.
The photography of the land is not favorable to us. There are gutters, holes, steps and stuff, and she's using her bike. So when we get together, we have to, because she has to get down and help her. I'll help her with the bike, carry it to cross the gutter before we continue. When there are steps she has to get, it's stressful.
Their bond extends beyond the classroom. They study, cook, and share laughter during their leisure time.
The thing that maybe coming to in contact with them, they'll actually be infected and other stuff. So I decided to be friend with her in order to give a helping hand.
Their friendship is reciprocal.
When she's going to buy something, she'll be like, Esther, please. And I say, Felicity, how can I visually beg you? I said, she said, no, I don't care. Let's move together. We move together. So anyway, so I really like, there is this friction between the two of us. Yeah. Sometimes I do say something. I'll be like, Felicity, why are you not mad at me? She said, no. Then I'll just apologize. Then we move on. Yeah, so I really love our friendship.
Their shared moments of joy and mutual support paint a beautiful picture of what friendship truly means.
I want to be a journalist because I've not seen people giving news like me. And for that matter, I would like to use the power of the microphone to advocate for persons living with disabilities.
I want the whole world to know of our friendship, a visually impaired and a person living with a kind of pleasure, being besties, bestie.
Me conscious.
Despite the challenges, Felicity and Esther are determined to succeed in their academic pursuit and hope their friendship will inspire others, as well as highlight the need for better support for students with disabilities. Emmanuel Givenu, Joy News.
Definitely an inspiring story there. And Emmanuel Givenu's report, This Abled, that's our series. Really, I'm really touched, emotional about this. George, what's in business?
And MFI said that disability is not an inability.
Yeah.
And the potential and the strength of the power of the mind to do things as long as the world is there. Well, coming up in business, government advances almost 6 billion cedis as payment to restructured bondholders, but there are concerns about impact on the local currency. And oil marketing companies forecast reduction in fuel prices from the end of this month due to favorable developments on the world market and fairly stable Ghana cedi. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Synthesis Tanks and Pepsodent Herbal and Charcoal.
The other day, I visited Kweku at his spunky new office to congratulate him on opening his business. And man, was I impressed. The business is just moving quick. The sales, customers, everything is just working seamlessly. The secret? He said,
it's MTN Business Broadband. In this fast-paced environment, we need fast and reliable internet to support all business types. No laggy online meetings, great download and upload speeds, impeccable business management systems, all inclusive. I mean, you can have it all.
Shout! I signed on immediately.
To enable your business stay ahead and stay connected, make sure you're signed on to the best internet made just for businesses. MTN Business Broadband. Sign up today on broadband.mtn.com.gh. And manage your account on my MTN app. Call 0244-308-111 for more information. We are good together everywhere you go.
Hooray! Kingdom Books and Stationery Limited's back to school promotion is here with us once again. From August to September this year, Kingdom Books and Stationery Limited is giving a generous 10 to 20% discount on all school items like textbooks, pens, pencils, erasers, exercise books, and much more across all our branches in Accra, Tema, Kumasi, Takrade, Winneba, and Cape Coast. Parents, teachers, and students, please hurry while stocks last. For more information, call us on 0506-487-557 or 0302-764-209 or via email at info@kingdomgh.com. You can also visit our website www.kingdomstoreonline.com. Kingdom Books, where quality and affordability are both assured. Terms and conditions apply. Supposed to happen where we find
the reason why. Yeah. We have a new leader in town, OBRNT. I'm a fool. Me don't want to see baby. When you say my baby, maybe mama more charcoal for whiter teeth.
More charcoal.
Not only that, maybe mama lemon.
More lemon.
Zinc for fresher breath.
More zinc.
And fluoride for stronger teeth.
Hey. Introducing the new President Charcoal Pack with more power with a combination of charcoal and lemon for naturally whiter teeth. Grab yours now. This advert is FDA approved.
With effect from the 90th cycle, we are pleased to announce the doubling, 100% increase of the bi-monthly cash grants for beneficiary households of the Livelihood Empowerment Against Poverty LEAP program. As a result, the LEAP cash grants for one eligible member household has been increased from 128 Ghana cedis to 256 Ghana cedis. Two eligible member households increased from 152 Ghana cedis to 304 Ghana cedis. Three eligible member households increased from 176 Ghana cedis to 352 Ghana cedis, and four eligible member households increased from 212 Ghana cedis to 424 Ghana cedis. The payment to beneficiary households starts on 12 August 2024 nationwide. Caregivers should count your money before leaving the pay point or bank, or ask your community volunteer or the social welfare officer to assist. Do not accept any amount paid to them which is less than expected. Demand your receipt after being paid and keep it for reference. Caregivers, do not give any part of your money to anyone for any reason. Caregivers must spend the money on their household's nutrition and children's education and invest in income-generating activities. This is important because the households will not be on the program forever. Please report concerns about the program to the community focal person or complaints to your community volunteer, district social welfare officer, or these toll-free numbers: 0800-800-800 or 0800-900-900. The message is from the Ministry of Gender, Children and Social Protection and the LEAP Management Secretariat.
The luckiest
*712#
luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah. The luckiest
*712#
luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah.
Doctors,
nurses,
barbers,
drivers,
bouncers,
friends,
teachers,
bankers.
Go.
The luckiest
*712#
luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah. The luckiest
*712#
luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah.
Doctors,
nurses,
barbers,
drivers,
bouncers,
friends,
teachers,
bankers.
*712#
you could be the luckiest.
You're welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, government has advanced almost 6 billion Ghana cedis as quote payments to restructured bondholders. There is more in this report.
This is the latest payment that government has carried out this year after it concluded the domestic debt exchange program. The payments are going to persons and institutions that exchange their old bonds for new government papers. Joy Business understands that the payment was done just yesterday, August 21, 2024. This might be the third or fourth time this year that government has moved to settle the coupon payment for these new bondholders this year. We also understand that it's covered all the category of investors that are holding government bonds. However, there are some who are worried about the impact of this payment on the Ghana cedi going forward. This is because it could result in a sudden surge in dollar demand on the market. This is because some of these investors that want to hedge their investment against inflation may move to buy dollars, a development that could put some pressure on the Ghana cedi.
And that is a Business Dex report. Now, prices of petroleum products are expected to reduce marginally from the end of this month. Now, that's according to the Association of Oil Marketing Companies. The review will be influenced by the continuous reduction in prices of crude on the international market and the city's marginal recovery. Dr. Rivers Nopon is chief executive of the Association of Oil Marketing Companies.
So many things that
accomplished to the pump price that we have. And the two major things that control our pricing today are the international flat prices, mm-hmm. and also our CD to dollar exchange rate. And you realize that the pump price went down a bit, and I was in Takoradi with my team doing the mystery shopping. I asked the full attendant, and he was like, now the regulators have reduced the price. They have not reduced any price because it's still deregulated. Is the CD coming down? Doing better against the dollar, or flat price coming down? As far as we have flat prices coming down, which we have identified, which we have seen in the past two or three windows, once the flat price comes down, we're going to have the price at the pumps also coming down.
Dr. Reverson Opong is the chief executive of the Association of Oil Marketing Companies. Let's still stay on the sector, because the Chamber of Bulk Oil Distributors are challenging the LPG marketers over their boycott of Sage and Blue Ocean due to claims of foreign ownership. Now, speaking during a virtual news conference, chief executive of the chamber, Dr. Patrick Okorie, noted that the allegations of monopoly of the industry and venturing into the retail space are not accurate. He urged the National Petroleum Authority to intervene.
These people are not Ghanaians and all that. Who doesn't know the faces behind Sage Kingdoms? They've been with us since. Anybody who is well versed in the downstream petroleum sector. Another thing that as a country we also don't want to encourage is people touting the foreign direct investment that government through its agencies are globetrotting to ensure that we get people to come in to invest. What is wrong? What I wanted them to even check, especially with the Blue Ocean terminal, before going out to cast doubt or insinuations about their ownership structure. So when they were loading from them in the past, they didn't know the ownership structure or who were the owners of that facility.
Dr. Patrick Okorie is chief executive of the Chamber of Bulk Oil Distributors. Now, the Bank of Ghana has given the firm assurance that it will take the necessary actions to ensure that the financial space is cleared of all illegal activities by some players, delivering a keynote address at the ACI Ghana Financial Market Conference. Head of Financial Markets at the Bank of Ghana, Dr. Zakari Mumuni, said that they will ensure that the space is cleared of all these actions.
The Bank of Ghana remains committed to maintaining a vigilant stance on regulatory compliance and ethical standards. The Bank of Ghana imposed fines and suspended the forex license of one fintech company for breaching some provisions of the Foreign Exchange Act 2006, Act 723. In March 2023, the bank suspended the foreign exchange trading licenses of two banks due to various infractions of the foreign exchange market regulations, including fraudulent documentation in their operations. Issues such as misreporting and mispricing have been observed in the foreign exchange markets as well. These unethical practices undermine the progress made in financial markets. The bank remains vigilant and is prepared to impose stringent sanctions on those engaged in such practices.
Dr. Zakari Mumuni is head of financial markets at the Bank of Ghana. Now, board chairman of the Ghana Revenue Authority, Joe Gatti, has assured of forming social partnership with the public to ensure tax revenues are used for the right purposes. Mr. Gatti made these remarks when the board of the Ghana Revenue Authority paid a courtesy call on the national chief man at his residence here in Accra.
The time of them and us should pass, that we are government. Whether you are in government or you are not in government, you are part of government. And therefore, if you come to that realization, then, and you pay your taxes, then you can also demand accountability. Then you can also realize that, listen, if I want a road being done, I must also pay my tax. So when I contribute my widow's mite, then I can insist that the right thing be done. So as we point a finger at the people in authority, the rest of our fingers are pointing at us. What is our responsibility as Ghanaians? We must have some responsibility.
And that is the board chairman of the Ghana Revenue Authority, Joe Gatti. And if you have invested on the Ghana Stock Exchange, returns now are more than 39%. And on PM Express Business Edition tonight, we're looking at the high interest rate regime and what has been done by banks like Development Bank Ghana to address these concerns. Kwame Nduka is the chief executive of Development Bank Ghana. I'll be engaging him on PM Express Business Edition tonight at 9 p.m. on Joy News and all the social media platforms.
Thank you very much, George. We look forward to it. It's at 9 p.m. and it will be on DSTV channel 421, also GoTV 115. You don't want to miss PM Express Business Edition. Let's do sports. Musbao, what's up?
Jordan Ayew is on the move. Jordan Ayew is on the move. Leicester City, they're the ones who have agreed to pay Crystal Palace in excess of £8 million for Jordan Ayew, increasing their initial £4 million offer earlier. Now, the improved bid has been accepted by Crystal Palace, paving the way for Jordan Ayew to depart after a spell at the club since 2018. Well, the Ghanaian international, who turns 33 next month, has made over 200 appearances for Crystal Palace and scored 23 goals in the process. Well, he'll be joining Fatou Issahaku at Leicester City and will be hoping to help the club retain their status in the Premier League. Now, to Ensuan Chimanao, now, and they departed Ghana tonight for Cameroon ahead of their reverse fixture of their CAF Confederations Cup first round tie against Chad's Elect Sport. Now, the Ghana FA Cup champions hold a healthy 3-0 advantage from the first leg of the Crown Sports Stadium. Defender Isaka Mohamed says the approaching Yaounde on Saturday will be no different.
I think we are going there with a different strategy. We are not going to play the same like the way we play at home. We are going there to we are going there with different style to defend or to even score more goals over there. We are confident that maybe the second leg, I'm sure that we are going to win over there too.
That's Isaka Mohamed there. Well, so Sanchoman on Saturday, then Samatex will play on Sunday at the Crown Sports Stadium against Victoria United.
Thank you very much, Ms. Bao. We'll get into the election headquarters, and it's made possible by Petrosol Platinum Energy's Energizing Dreams. Also, SIMA, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, SIMA AICP, and SIMA together as the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants. We have the German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental, Wellness, and Beauty. We have the Chobox Technologies, a convenient service. Youth Bridge Foundation, Bridging Gaps for Positive Youth Development. And it's 7 days, so the Joy News National Media Freedom Dialogue on defending media freedom.
Once a beacon of press freedom in Africa, Ghana has seen a troubling decline in media freedom, falling from 30th position in 2021 to 62nd in 2023 on the World Press Freedom Index.
So there's still a lot that we need to do to get to where we want to be. Defend media freedom.
I need to be safe to do my work as a journalist.
Defend media freedom.
Yes, it's the hashtag Defend Media Freedom. Join us on all our social media handles as we here at the Multimedia Group lead the charge to ensure a safe environment for journalists across the board as we prepare for election 2024. Of course, the atmosphere will be tense, and as we journalists push together stories, we need to be safe in a bid to check the attacks, threats, intimidations and hostilities that greet us in our line of work to get you the news. We want to join that campaign and stakeholder engagement to ensure journalists are protected and safe. And of course, the team have put together another media dialogue. It's a dialogue that this time will be focusing on media freedom. Head of our political desk and senior news editor here at Joy News, Joy FM, Evans Mensah, joins me in studios with what to expect. Where have you been? But we'll talk about that later. Let's talk about the national dialogue.
So you remember in 2013, in fact, just after the elections, you know how we call the elections here, one of our colleagues was brutally assaulted. He really never recovered. And I'm not even talking about Latif Idris. Mm-hmm. This was a good friend of ours. You know, he never recovered. He's done treatment and still lives with the scars of that assault till today. Now, that is one story, but there are many stories across the country. Each time we're approaching elections, we're going to the nooks and crannies of this country, 275 constituencies, now 276. And journalists will be doing the work in the dead of night. Even yourself, you remember, yes. you were nearly assaulted, or indeed assaulted in one of the instances.
A little.
Yes. So we thought, with just over 3 months to go, bring stakeholders together, create awareness, And it's not sometimes about the political leadership. It's just about the fringe elements in the party and party supporters generally across the country, because there's a lot at stake. The stakes are very, very high. If you do not get everybody else involved and create a platform where people know the importance of what we do, but also the need to ensure that they actually protect us, mm-hmm. a lot more people will be assaulted and we are not able to do our jobs. And I hear people say they want free, fair, transparent elections. Mm-hmm. My argument is that without transparency, you cannot have free, you cannot have fair. Because when people know that it's transparent, they can verify what is happening. When we take our cameras into the Electoral Commission strong room and you see what's happening, you see the counting happening in real time. We watch the Nigerian elections where the entire counting is live on television. That sort of transparency makes it hard for anybody to come and challenge the results once it's announced. And that is why the journalists, the media, is so critical to this process. And we're hoping that through this campaign, in partnership with the CDD and the Danish Foreign Ministry, we can get people involved in protecting journalists and media wherever they are this year. So we started with the campaign, the social media campaign with the hashtag you mentioned, Defend Media Freedom, GH. You've seen it across board. Tweet at us, use that hashtag, and let's create an awareness. We want to trend. We don't want to trend because we want to trend for the sake of it. We want to trend to create awareness so that we can guarantee safety of journalists, but also guarantee what you've been talking about, the transparency in elections and its freeness and fairness. Mm-hmm. And then on Thursday, a week today, we'll bring everybody together in one room at the Nat Hall for that big national summit.
Yeah, that's on Thursday, 29th August.
Yes.
Nat Hall at 4 p.m. And I must say that that event will be broadcast live here on Joy 99.7 FM. It will be on Joy News, myjoyonline.com, and all our social media platforms. This you cannot miss.
I'm looking forward to hearing from the IGP. He's going to be there.
Okay.
He's confirmed he's going to be there. He's going to be speaking to us. Obviously, you know, we have to be a partners in this with the police, etc. We'll be expecting to hear also from the judiciary. The legislature will be represented. The executive obviously will be represented. We're expecting to be hearing from the minister, the information minister, too. We've sent invitations to her to come in and speak to us. But development partners and civil society will also be present for a conversation.
Well, we can't wait for that. Thank you very much.
Adom is part of this, too.
Okay.
Adom will also be doing a separate one next month in up north in the Ashanti region. Because I want to get everybody involved.
And it's the hashtag Defend Media Freedom. You need to use the hashtag Defend Media Freedom, GH. Very, very important. And that's how we end today's edition of News Night here on Joy 99.7 FM, also on Love 99.5 FM in Kumasi, myjoyonline.com. We have Ghana Connect tomorrow, so Evans and I will not be here, but Kwikwe Santi and the team will be here with the very latest. And it's Personality Profile. And guess who we are hosting tonight, Evans? Dr. Samuel Ofosuanpo. He's immediate past chairman of the NEC. Lexis Bill's guest. You can't miss that. Have a good evening.